No, The Wizard of Oz is not an action-adventure movie. I don't know. I guess I would call it a fantasy movie. Yeah, true. Judy Garland's my fantasy, and she's right over here. That's, The Wizard of Oz is ultimately a Judy Garland movie. Okay, you're satisfied with that answer? Good. This is Martin Zunder. Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. It is a show, I admit. This is also the Revelation series. And interesting thing about blacks, too. You notice how I can just say that, blacks? Why not? Whites, blacks, Asians, Jews. I got no problem with anybody. Eskimos, not allowed to call them that. They're Inuits, I guess. When I was a kid, they were Eskimos. The Indians, when I was a kid, were Indians. Now they're Native Americans. I guess I should be calling blacks African Americans. What are white then? European Americans. I don't know. Some of them come from Australia. Australian Americans. I guess the best just call them Americans. You notice how the blacks can call each other bad names. Really bad names. But we can't call them bad names or we're in trouble. And that's the same thing going on with the Jews here, because the Jews can brag about owning Hollywood, owning the entertainment media, but let us mention it and we're anti-Semitic. So in case that charge comes against me, I'm on record as telling you, not that words matter these days, that I'm absolutely not anti-Semitic. So let me finish the article I was reading from News Observer Online. And then I will go to A.E. Nock, I think. And then I'll finish the Joel Stein article where I started last week. The New Observer. We had this thing where Mr. Oldman had to apologize for saying that the Jews run Hollywood, even though the Jews constantly say and brag that they own Hollywood. This apology, I mentioned that on Friday. The apology of Mr. Oldman to the Anti-Defamation League wasn't good enough for the ADL's Abe Foxman, who in a press statement said, quote, "We have just begun a conversation with his managing producer." In other words, that the Jewish supremacists will now be seeking to smash Oldman's career. This is Foxman, quote, "While his apology may be heartfelt, Mr. Oldman does not understand why his words about Jewish control were so damaging and offensive, and it is therefore insufficient," Foxman added. What do you want to do? What else do you want the guy to do? Wear a yarmulke? Convert? I don't know. For example, here we go. However, Foxman has never said anything when his fellow Jews have said exactly what Oldman said, and even more. And then as an example, the writer here in the New Observer writes, for example, the Jewish journalist Joel Stein, who used to write for the Los Angeles Times and who currently writes for Time magazine, wrote a large article in the LA Times on December 29th, 2008, titled, "Is Hollywood Run by Jews? You Bet." And that's the article that I was reading to you, and I think I'm going to continue reading to you now. And then he quotes extensively from this article as Mr. Stein explains precisely how Jews control Hollywood. And significantly, Stein ended his boastful article with the following illuminating comment. I'm going to be getting to that as I read the article myself. I almost don't want to preempt it by reading it here, but I think I'm going to, because I'm going to give you a double dose of it. This is Joel Stein at the end of the article that I'm about to resume reading to you. Quote, "But I don't care if Americans think we're running the news media, Hollywood, Wall Street, or the government. I just care that we get to keep running them." End quote. That was Joel Stein, a Jewish man, writing in the LA Times. The writer here in the New Observer finishes, Stein has not had his employees spoken to by Foxman and the ADL, unlike the unfortunate Gary Oldman. Why? Because the Jews don't criticize each other. They know how it is. They know how it is. They know it's true. They just don't want it said by Gentiles. The difference is, of course, that the Jews are perfectly happy as long as it is they who boast about their control of Hollywood. but woe betide any Gentile who dares to say the same thing. They are just anti-Semites. Stein is not the only prominent Jewish journalist to have boasted about Jewish control of Hollywood. Oh, where do you read? Oh my gosh, this is amazing. I'm not going to get into it now, but in August 1996, the Jewish magazine Moment, which describes itself as North America's premier Jewish magazine, founded in 1975 by Nobel Prize laureate Elie Wiesel. Is it Wiesel or Wiesel? I don't care. Ran a front page article titled, "Jews Run Hollywood, So What?" written by Jewish journalist Michael Medved. This was in 1996, the Joel Stein article 2008, and I'm quoting from an article that appeared in the New Observer online in 2013. So let's get back to Joel Stein here. Where did I leave off with you? Okay. Joel Stein. Let me see where I am on time here. Okay, we're looking good. Joel Stein again from the Los Angeles Times. I called ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, Chairman Abe Foxman, who was in Santiago, Chile, where he told me to my dismay he was not hunting Nazis. He dismissed my whole proposition, that is, the Jews run Hollywood, saying that the number of people who think Jews run Hollywood is still too high. The ADL poll, he pointed out, showed that 59% of Americans think Hollywood execs, quote, do not share the religious and moral values of most Americans, and that 43% think the entertainment industry is waging an organized campaign to, quote, weaken the influence of religious values in this country, unquote. That's a sinister canard, Foxman said. It means they think Jews meet at Center's Deli on Friday mornings to decide what's best for the Jews, quote, unquote. Foxman's argument made me rethink. I have to eat at Cantor's more often. Funny guy, Joel Stein, trying to be funny here. He goes on, that's a very dangerous phrase, Jews control Hollywood. What is true is that there are a lot of Jews in Hollywood, he said. Instead of control, Foxman would prefer people say that many executives in the industry happen to be Jewish, as in, quote, all eight major film studios are run by men who happen to be Jewish, unquote. But Foxman said he is proud of the accomplishments of American Jews. Quote from Foxman, I think Jews are disproportionately represented in the creative industry. They're disproportionate as lawyers and probably medicine here as well, he said. He argues that this does not mean that Jews make pro-Jewish movies any more than they do pro-Jewish surgery, though other countries I've noticed aren't so big on circumcision. Here is Stein ending the article. I appreciate Foxman's concerns and maybe my life spent in a New Jersey, New York, Bay Area, LA pro-Semitic cocoon has left me naive. But I don't care if Americans think we're running the news media, Hollywood, Wall Street, or the government. I just care that we get to keep running them. From the Golden Cup chapter, so named in The Unveiling of Jesus Christ, written by Mr. A.E. Nock of German descent in the 1930s. This page is torn up to shreds in my Bible here. I mean, in my book, you can see it's ripped. So if I have a hard time reading this, that's why. The influence of Great Babylon over the peoples of the earth is figured by a golden cup. And we read that in chapter 17, which she holds in her hand, brimming with the abominations and uncleannesses of the prostitution of her and the earth. Its wine makes them, that is the inhabitants of the world, drunk. These simple statements are tremendously suggestive once we allow ourselves to ponder their import. They can mean nothing less than that the whole world is becoming intoxicated and the beverage is supplied by Babylon. We shall endeavor to show that this is actually true and that the illicit liquor is already being served so that the nations are staggering in a drunken debauch. That is the Unveiling 17:4. Let's read it again. And the woman was clothed with purple and scarlet, gilded with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, brimming with the abominations and uncleannesses of the prostitution of her and the earth. and also that she is making drunk. Those dwelling in the earth are made drunk with the wine of her prostitution. That's verse 2. To continue now with Enoch. At the very same time that this furious wine is being swallowed by the peoples, the most intense and successful temperance and prohibition propaganda that the world has ever seen is being staged. All right, so this was earlier than 1930. When was the prohibition? How long did it go? Late 20s? Oh, man, now I have to look this up. And why is it important? Why is he mentioning this? Let me find out here. Propaganda of the world has ever been stated. The United States actually incorporated the prohibition of intoxicating liquors in its constitution. Wait a minute. The United States actually incorporated the prohibition of intoxicating liquors in its constitution so that it see. Oh, yes. Well, that was added. The founders certainly did not prohibit in the constitution liquor, because Benjamin Franklin, they all were famous for drinking hard liquor boys, right? Franklin would drink over in France, probably absinthe, while he entertained the ladies of Paris. Oh, Ben Franklin, never would he have allowed prohibition of alcohol into the Constitution. It's the moral majority. Of course, not formally in existence back then, but it was puritanical American society, which wants to prohibit these things, wants to control your life, tell you what you can do and what you can't do. And really, that's all part of the intoxicant of Babylon. Although with the entertainment industry and the news media, it's not overtly forcing things down your throat, but it's more like a seduction. And they seduce you with the new shows they do with their fancy graphics, their spinning globes, and their music. The Olympics comes on with it has to sound epic. And I feel a little bad about what I said about swimming and races. I like athletics, but when sports becomes all-encompassing and when it becomes the most important thing in a culture, apparently the love of sports ruined the Roman Empire, crashed it down, because the people became more interested in their entertainments and in their leisure and in their pastime pursuits than they did with running the state or making the people happy or taking care of spiritual matters. How's that? How's that? So it's a seduction, and it's done with music and with graphics and with light, and you're drawn into it, and you're made to care. You're made to give a crap. But as far as alcohol goes, the reason Enoch is bringing this up is because it's an intoxicant here that is used. And we don't want to come back to a law of Moses at any time and say, thou shalt not. And so we allow these things. But it's the Spirit of God that keeps these things. It's the Spirit of God that's now the regulator, not the law of Moses. This is why small government is good. Anyway, the law of Moses says, thou shalt not. The Spirit of God says this much and no more. The Spirit of God is what enables you to watch the Olympics, watch the news, watch a movie, and not be overcome, and to not have it be your life. And yet even us, I believe this, even we have taken in this intoxicant to the degree that we have no idea what our lives would be like without it. And I say to you that we would be better people. We would be better people. We would be calmer. We would be more rational ourselves. Even I, Martin Zender, who makes sense for a living, I would make more sense for a living if I quit watching 70s bands on YouTube. I would probably make better sense if I got rid of my phone, if I dropped all my social media correspondence. True, I'm not on Facebook, but I'm always talking to people, chatting. It's distracting. I love people, don't get me wrong. If you're chatting with me, I'm not saying anything bad about you. I love you. You know that. You know that. But there wasn't, not long ago, we couldn't do that. Not long ago, we somehow survived without texting one another every 10 seconds, telling one another what we're doing. This has made us, even us, stupider. And even the telephone. Alexander Graham Bell. Watson, come quickly. I need you. Oh, my God. That was the beginning of the end. Watson, come quickly. I wish Watson had never heard that. I wish it had failed. Because now we're able to talk to people all over the world. And we're forced to care about people all over the world. This is a burden. We're only designed by God, really, to care about our immediate family, our intimates. And we're lucky to get by a single day just doing that. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Oh, but no, we have to scan the globe and find out all the evil that happened on the, in the world and then get it dumped on us at 11 and 7 and noon, whatever the news. Every hour on the hour. Oh, thanks. Every hour on the hour, you're going to scan the globe, find out all the crap that happened, all the bad things, and dump it on me. And not only am I going to have to care for my immediate family, but now I'm going to have to care for 10,000 people on my Facebook page. Or I'm going to have to call people across the world. I'm going to have to stay connected. Staying connected drives us nuts. We're being made stupid. Even us smart people are being made stupider than we are. Boy, I would like to live. I would like to see just for 10 minutes what it would be like to live without all these influences. I think our minds would clear. I think we'd be able to take a deep cleansing breath and be normal for a change.